where would we be without the grace of God? He is so incredible. I'm so excited about this morning and being able to take, this is my first baby dedication. I've never done this before. It's all right, it's Julie's first baby. She's surviving. At this time, we're like our pastor's wife. I'm not for sure. There you are. I thought you were wearing red today, and I'm looking all over for red, and I'm like, where is she? Okay. Sister Grant.
I knew he was looking for me, but I didn't want to jump up and wave my hand. So, well, Derek, when you said changes, changes is a big word. It's change in lifestyle, change in diapers, change in baby clothes, but it's a good change. But sometimes, as young parents, you feel like, you know, this is our first baby, but I've watched other people do it, and it's got to be easy. But trust me, every baby, when they enter this world, they've got a mind of their own. The problem is you can't read that mind. So you have no idea when they cry if they're hurting, if they just need a poopy diaper change, or if they're wet, if they're hungry, or if they just want to stretch their lungs. So it's really a challenge, but it's a good one. So we have Derek and Julie, if you'll stand. And they have a handsome little guy that grandmother is holding named Levi. Levi Michael. And then on this side, we have Chris and Stephanie Zimmerman. Now, this is not their first one, so they pretty much knew the ropes and what was going to happen. And they have little Aaron that is just a real sweetheart. And we're so thankful for all of you that came out this morning to help them celebrate this special day. God bless.
The Zimmermans, Aaron. I looked this up in the Hebrew. Aaron means to lofty, exalted, and a high mountain. And Levi, we have two biblical names this morning. Levi means joined in harmony. So there is hope, Derek. You talk about changing baby clothes. You better get used to going places and that smell of puke on your collar. You know, you're at a nice restaurant, and you can just keep smelling that. But anyway, I would like to welcome all of our family and the friends of the Zimmermans, as well as the Buchholz this morning. And the Zimmermans, I believe this is your sixth baby dedication. So, they've equaled this out. It's three boys and three girls. And then if you add mom and dad, that's four boys and four girls. So, I mean, you guys are pretty well close enough to having your own football, basketball, soccer team there. So, but it seems like kids just grow up so fast. It seems like just yesterday that so many of the young men and women around here were just little, and now they're all growing up. And this morning we have a special treat in our AM service here, and we have three young men that are growing up. We have a young Roman George. So if you would please stand, Brother Roman. Then we have Colin Chernikowski. And you can just stand over there, Roman. That's fine. Colin, just stand up. He's ready to go. And Brother Jordan Powell. It just seems like yesterday that these young men were little. And it's an honor to have them here this morning. And I thank you so much, gentlemen, for volunteering for this today, and they're going to help me with this. But I'm just excited. I say brother because all of these young men have been repented of their sins, been baptized in Jesus' name, and filled with the Holy Ghost. And it's so awesome. So awesome. Getting right into this, as a pastor, I would say that the most common question when it comes to raising children is parents ask, you know, how do we raise our children in such an ungodly world? And it's tough. It is very tough. And I'd have to say that there's really no magic formula. There's no magic wand, Brother Derek, that you can wave that's going to take and produce that perfect child. And I know you may think, if you're here this morning, you may think that as you listen to this, that you were the perfect child when you grew up. And you may have had a number of siblings, and you may look at your siblings and you may say, I was the perfect child in our family. But I'm sure if you ask your siblings, or if you ask your parents, or if you ask your grandma and grandpa, they might give you a little bit different opinion on that. So I would seriously consider getting a second opinion on that. But I've always felt that the key to raising children is actually not the child itself, but it's more in the parents. And you can look at all the various children that are in here this morning and on our Sunday school over there, and we have a lot of different children. But I found out that over the years and observation that the key to raising children, you have to look at the parent. And baby dedications, we've said this many times, pastor said this many times, baby dedication is really more a dedication of the parents than it is the child. Now, I know we're dedicating the child to the Lord, and that is awesome within itself, but it takes dedication in the lives of the parent, but not just the parent. I found out now is that I'm a grandparent. I'm Poppy and Lolo, and for the first time in my life, I have grandchildren, and I'm excited about that. We've got two grandchildren. My father spoke many times of Cole and Ava, but I'm finding out as a grandfather that my responsibility hasn't ended, that it is still my responsibility to assist my daughter and my son-in-law. And I look and my dad, which is their great-grandfather, is assisting and help raising the children. So in order to have godly children, it must be modeled. And it must be modeled following principles that are found in the Word of God. I think that the first thing that we need is we need to have a passionate relationship with God. We just have to. When you read Deuteronomy 6, 5 through 6, it tells us, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all of your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. Ye shall teach them diligently, diligently, diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house. So that means every day you teach to your children the relationship, and you teach them how to have that relationship with God. You teach them diligently as you sit in your house. And when you walk, by the way, when you're walking those little ones down the sidewalk in a stroller, teach them about God's creation. Teach them about nature. Teach them about the ways of God. When you lie down, how many times have you had to take that little one in your arms and rock them to sleep and lay them in their bed only to have them wake up when you turn around to walk away? And when they lie down, you teach them. And when you rise up, when they rise up in the morning, teach them. God commands us as parents to diligently and faithfully teach our children. This means that we must transfer what we have as a parent into our children. If we are not passionate about our love for God and the things of God, we cannot expect our children to be passionate about their love for God. You see, if you're not passionate about church attendance, if you're not passionate about prayer and reading your Bible to your children, if that's not a priority to you, it will never be a priority to them. So it's very important, Deuteronomy 6, 5 and 6, to teach your children diligently. And we need to use God's word as our standard. And the title of my message to this morning is Life Grows On. So you can go ahead and put that up. I failed to give that at the beginning. Life Grows On. We must teach God's Word, and that God's Word must be our standard. There's so many books that are available today on how to raise children. You can take and go to the public library. You can go to the bookstores. You can go all over and you can find all sorts of books on how to raise children. But I want to encourage you as a parent to take and use this book, as the primary book in how to raise your children. We must rely on God's Word. And who knows better than the Creator of your child than to help you deal with the situations and circumstances of your child? God deals with man, God helps man, and He does it through His Word. Our pastor has stated many times that the Bible is literally our manual for life. And that's the way we need to treat it. Psalms 119:11 says, Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. That is so powerful. If we can take our children and we can hide the word of God into their hearts and into their minds so that they might not sin against thee. His word is our standard. There is no other standard than the Word of God, and we must rely on the Word of God. We also, as parents, must realize, and this is something that is difficult at times, but we must be on the same page. We must be on the same page. You see, if parents are not in agreement, our children, they learn this skill very early, the art of manipulation. I learned after church on Sunday that we would conquer and divide our parents. We would ask, can we go? And for me, I would like to go over to Vernon Carol Washburner here, and their son Jeffrey was one of my best friends growing up, and I would want to go to Jeffrey Washburn's house. So I would go and I would say, Dad, can I go to Jeff Washburn's house for the service after church this morning? Can I go to his house? And say, ask your mom. And I go and ask my mom, and I'll say, Mom, Dad told me to come ask you if I can go over to Jeff's house. It seems it's okay with him. He didn't say no. You see, I didn't really quite outright lie, but I kind of manipulated a little bit. How many of you have ever done that with your parents? We learn. Children learn. Amos 3:3 says, how can two people walk together without agreeing on the direction? So as parents, as a family, we must be on the same page. We must be in agreement, and we must quickly learn how to deal with our children in that area of manipulation, where that they will try to manipulate one against the other. In order to have this, we have to have strong marriages. And strong marriages is strong family bonds, and those strong family bonds add to the stability in the lives of our children. Every year here at Calvary Gospel Church, we have Marriage Enrichment Seminar. And we also offer parenting classes. We just had a series that Knopf spoke and conducted a series on parenting classes. Now, if you really want to know my honest personal truth here, if you would ask me, which would you recommend, Pastor? We're having some problems in our marriage and we're having some problems with our children. What class would you recommend? I would have to tell you to take the marriage class. Take the marriage class, because you see, it is a strong marriage, a strong foundation that takes a strong family. It doesn't do you any good to have a weak marriage and try to concentrate on your children if the parents aren't working together in the situation, if the parents aren't strong. You have to have that foundation, a strong foundation, before you can begin to add structure to that foundation. And our children are part of that structure. So I want to encourage all of our parents here today, not just to the families that are dedicating their children, to strengthen your marriage. It is crucial in the survival of your family unit. You have to strengthen your marriage. When is the last time, man, you've taken your wife out on a date? Think about it. When's the last time you were excited and you bought that bouquet of roses or that single rose or that box of chocolates. And when she came home from work, the house was all nice and clean, and there was a little sparklies leading to the bedroom, and you get in there and there's a flower on the bed and a box of chocolates and a little date card. When's the last time? Strengthen your marriage. Take your wife out. Work together. Work together. One thing that I have learned over the last 10 years of my life is to work together with my wife. I have to say, sad to say, but before that, I did a lot of the projects around the house all by myself. I just felt like I didn't necessarily need my wife to help me build a deck. I didn't need her to help me do the various things. But I've learned as I've gotten a little bit older that it sure is nice to have that helpmate. And I'm so thankful that my wife was patient, and she's learned a lot by some of these Reader's Digest books on how to take and do plumbing and electrical. And now I can just sit and watch as she... I'm just kidding. That would never happen. Wishful thinking on that one. But anyway, just kidding. So she's a good cook, though. She does a lot of other things that I appreciate. But grow together. Pray together. Spend time together as a couple. Doesn't hurt every now and then to hire a babysitter. The Thompson girls are awesome babysitters. I'm putting a plug in for the Thompson Girl Babysitting Service. And hire a babysitter and take your wife out on that date. Go out with another couple. Have a couple's date. But as a result, your family will flourish together. I want to take and admonish the fathers here for a moment. As fathers, I believe that biblically that we should be the lead in parenting. That when God created the household, and I'm not going to sit here and argue on whether or not a man or a woman can do what best, but God set it up that the man was the head of the household and his wife was a helpmate. It doesn't mean that she's a doormat. It doesn't mean that you can take and abuse her and treat her as something that is less than a man. I so much, it bothers me when men mistreat their wives and talk down to their wives in public and such. And I know, men, we've probably all been guilty of that. But our wives are there, and God placed them in our lives as a helpmate. And my wife and I, raising our daughter, we work together. Today we work together. We work together in ministry. We work together in the home. But as far as the lead in parenting, God has placed that responsibility on the father. And I feel that one of the biggest issues that families face today is the lack of a fatherly image in the household. I believe that. The lack of fatherly influence in the household. You may be a father in the household, but you may not have much influence in that household. And if that is the case, you need to ask yourself why. Why? Because that rests directly upon your shoulders. I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but God is going to hold you as the husband accountable for the well-being of your family. God placed that responsibility on our shoulders. And you can have a father in the home, but have no influence, or influence at least in a positive way. And one of the most critical needs in our children is for fathers to take an active role in parenting their children. Can you imagine what a difference it would make if fathers begin to reinstitute spiritual discipline into their homes? Fathers, I want to challenge you here this morning to make family devotions in your home a priority. Get your family together with your wife, with the mom. Get them together. Get your children together and spend that time. Eat your meals together as a family. I can't believe how many times you go into homes and they never eat a meal together. And if they do, the children have their own cell phones and they're all having their own conversations. The dinner table should be everyone there, and it should be technology free. No cell phones at the dinner table. It's a time that the family, how was your day at school? Begin to talk to each other as a family. Work together as a family. Get to know your siblings at the supper table instead of texting them in the next room. So can you imagine what a difference it would make? We must also shield as fathers our children by monitoring what they see. And as our world gets more and more into the technology age, and our children probably know as much, if not more, about technology than we as parents know. I know that's true for me. A smartphone, that doesn't mean I'm smart. It means the phone's smart. And sometimes I have to go into Jessica Rivas' office and say, Jessica, what did I just do here? What did I hit? I changed something. It didn't work this way yesterday. And she's got to fix it and give it back to me and show me what I did wrong. But our children today have access to more negative things than what we could ever imagine just by the access to the technologies that they have. So as a father in your home, it's your responsibility to monitor what your children see and what they hear. That includes TV and movies. And you need to watch out, because some of those cute little innocent kid-type movies today, you better pay very close attention to the underlying message in those cute little cartoon movies. And it doesn't hurt to install filters on the internet and regulate your children's cell phones and keep track of who they're talking to and who they're texting. They may say, it's my phone. I'm paying the bill. It's my name on the contract. I have parents' rights to monitor what. If you want to go get your own phone and pay your own bill, you can do that, but you can't do that and live in my house. See, my dad kind of had these rules that this is my house. I'm paying for it. I bought your bed. I bought your bed sheets. I pay for your towels. I buy the toilet paper. I buy the toothpaste. Now, you may say, oh, that is so mean and so cruel. We all survived. We didn't have, it wasn't my bedroom. My dad allowed me to use that bedroom out of the generosity of his heart. You know, parents said, "Oh no, I can't go in my kid's room. I would violate their privacy." You'd be surprised what's going on while you're out there trying to violate their privacy, and they're in there doing anything and everything. And it's, you need to start paying a little bit of attention. Also, it doesn't hurt. I've been doing a little bit of reading on some of our materials and such that are being used in our schools today. If your children go to public school, as a parent, you need to start paying attention to what they're having your kids read. My word, it's unbelievable what they're having our children read today. It's a tough job for our mom and dads today. But as dads, I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you to take and be the man of the household. And that sometimes means that you may not always be the most popular. But you know, parenting, the consequences of bad parenting is so devastating. So devastating. And I know we have a number of single parent households here at Calvary Gospel Church, and I just want to encourage our single moms and our single dads that are here this morning to continue to pray for strength as well as wisdom, and raise your children using these same godly principles, and avoid negative talk and criticisms of the parent who is no longer in the home. So often we see one parent who chooses to walk away from God, and his or her lifestyle may be directly opposing what we're trying to teach our children. But remember, if you're teaching your children to be godly, you must be godly. You can't sit there and shred your spouse and expect your child not to someday have respect problems with you. What comes around goes around. You reap what you sow. So be very careful. It's never easy, but you must prepare your children as best as you can and be respectful as well as godly, even when you're in a negative environment. You look at Joseph in the Old Testament. Joseph, he survived in his environment. It was placed upon him at a very early age, and it sustained him as he grew. He didn't have a godly parent by his side, but what was instilled in him as a young man, the age of the young men that are sitting over here today, was what was instilled in him as a very young lad sustained him all the way up through, and eventually, because of his moral character and his integrity, he eventually became second under Pharaoh. So we need to take and we need to teach our children, fathers, we need to teach them to honor and obey their parents. Ephesians 6, 1 through 3 commands our children to do two things. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, and it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. This is kind of a twofold blessing to those children who keep these two commandments. But the flip side of this is that as parents, we must realize that we are the ones that are responsible to train our children to obey and to give honor. You see, children just don't go bad. They just don't go bad. I've heard that before. Oh, especially down south, my grandparents. Oh, you know what? He was real good, and he just kind of went bad. Don't know what happened to him. Well, I know what happened to him. A parent stopped having influence in his life, or whoever that influence in his life was. You see, we were all born in sin and shapen in iniquity. And we go bad because it's in our nature to go bad. It's in our nature. Who teaches your children how to lie? Do you sit down and teach your children how to lie? No, you don't teach them how to lie. They learn that on their own. Did you break that? Nope. They don't want a spanking. They don't want the repercussions. So our children, they don't just go bad. It's in their nature. But children is oftentimes termed go bad. It's more as a result of what the parents do not do. And at this time, I would like for our youngest guest speaker this morning, Brother Roman George, to come, and he's going to share a few things with you this morning. Now, Roman, if it's all right, I'm going to have you come right down here so people over there can see you, okay? Are you all right with that?
My name is Roman George, and when I was 8 years old, and I still am 8 years old, I got into a little bad habit called rolling my eyes at my mom. And the first day I did it, my mom warned me about it. She said it was a bad habit and I shouldn't do it anymore. But I did not listen to her. I did it again the next day, and this time I got grounded for a week. And it taught me that rolling your eyes is a bad habit and also very disrespectful, and it could have helped me in the future from being in trouble in college. And if I rolled up my eyes at my boss in college, I could have gotten really big trouble.
Thank you so much, Brother Roman. In Ephesians 6, 4, Paul speaks directly to the fathers, and he says, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Do not provoke his children to anger, not to enrage your child. Also, you can look this up, and it can speak about showing favoritism. Don't show favoritism to your children. Don't degrade your children, especially in front of their friends, in front of their siblings. You know, one of the hardest things sometimes is if you're working on the job and your boss gets on your case and he chews you out in front of all of your fellow workers. How many of you enjoy that? Boy, I tell you, I hated that. I've been through that in my life to where that, you know, it's like this guy just enjoys humiliating us in front of each other. And, you know, be careful as a parent. you know, there's nothing wrong with taking your son or your daughter into the bedroom and saying, listen, what you did was wrong, and have that heart-to-heart talk with them. Don't use excessive discipline. Now, when I was a child, I wish my father would have paid a little bit closer attention to this, because there are some times I felt like he was way off the charts. But you know what? None of us ever suffered. I mean, we got spankings. I'm not going to sit here and try to tell you. We didn't get our share of spankings, but just about every spanking we ever had, we most definitely deserved. And some of the things we did, we probably should have had more than a spanking. Probably would have merited a spanking every day for so many days. But be careful. Because in anger, sometimes when we're angry, we can hurt our children. I'm not talking about being soft on them, but I'm not talking about beating them either. Just be careful. Don't enrage your children. Don't provoke them to anger. Sometimes it's easy as a parent to provoke your children to that anger. But you need to bring them up and nurture them and use discipline and correction. And next we have Brother Colin Chernikowski, who has grown up so much. He's now taller than Jordan Powell. And it's an honor to have Brother Colin here, and he would like to share a few words of wisdom with you this morning.
Thank you, Roy. I got spankings too, but I got them with a wooden spoon and a nail in it. And a belt, and another wooden spoon. I'm here to talk about discipline, but also the privileges that come with responsibilities. I'm involved in youth, and I love going to youth events like Link Rallies, but with those events come responsibilities. I have to vacuum the house and the car once a week. I do the dishes after dinner, and I do the laundry. But with that comes great times on Friday nights and also Saturdays. And Roy used one of my scriptures that I was going to use, but I'm going to read a verse from Luke 12, verse 48. From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded, and from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. So we all know about my mom's cookies, right? Well, when I was 4, she made those almost every day, and I would have eaten them if not for my mom's hiding spots. In fact, she loved to hide them downstairs in the freezer, which at the time I was not strong enough to open. But as I got older, I learned the benefits of healthy eating, and she ran out of hiding spots. But I was also involved in the quizzing ministry, and as you all know, and that was an everyday routine. I'm not saying it was fun, but it brought good rewards, but not just the trophies. It also taught me to discipline myself. And now I'm involved in music ministry, and it's a lot of discipline. I practice every day, but I don't think I could without the discipline that I gained in my earlier years. Band practice. Who wants to come to church for 4 hours on a Saturday and practice? I'd rather be home watching college football, okay? That's what I do. But it's discipline and commitment. But I think that discipline not only should be taught in our childhood, but we should use it in our teens and beyond. It's a commitment to come to church. It's a commitment to pray. We need to discipline ourselves to be involved in a ministry and stick with it. In closing, I'd like to thank my mom and dad for teaching me the benefits of discipline. And I think that the spoon with the tack could be left out.
That is awesome. That is awesome. Continuing in Ephesians 6:4, I'm going to be wrapping this up here. What does it mean to bring them up? To use nurture, discipline, or chastening. The word nurture is also translated as instruction. And the next gentleman that we're going to have come and speak, I've had a lot over the years working in a Christian school and having Jordan Powell there every day. He received a lot of nurture. He received a lot of reproof, correction, discipline in various areas. But I would have to tell you that I went out for lunch with him about a year or so ago, and he began to talk to me about his goals in life and where he wanted to go in his life. Thanked me for having a part of it. He is an awesome young man, and it is an honor to introduce Brother Jordan Powell. Brother Jordan.
Okay, I just want to say as a disclaimer, some of the stuff that's going to come out needs to come out in order to realize the degree of discipline that goes along with it. And another thing, I got the belt too, but my dad is not a skinny person. So that belt was... And sometimes I think it broke the sound barrier flying through the air. And once the rear end was, you know, softened up, you moved down to the thighs. I always got spanked. But I deserved it. Every single day I deserved it. Okay. So I think I'm talking about the other side of discipline, not the daily, but that side. I'm supposed to talk about my teenage years, and even up until my teenage years, I wasn't the best. I think there's quite a few babysitters out there from me, and something that came to mind, just to put it in perspective, Brian Hittestorf was my babysitter once, and my quizzing coach, and the night ended up with me in my room, grounded until my parents came home, because I decided to shoot him with a BB gun. So, among other things... But my mom would always say, oh, wait till your father gets home. And that instilled fear in me. Because at a very, very early age, my dad was a Sunday school teacher. And he would always, you know, give the long lectures. But he also found this one scripture, Proverbs 22:15. And that says, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. But the rod of correction will drive it far from him. And in the modern King Daniel version, that was the belt of correction that would drive it far from him. And my dad, on a daily basis, would spank me. And, oh man, did I hate him. At the time, I didn't know the meaning of the word, but oh, I was infuriated. And yes, I did deserve it. But at the end, he would always make me go up to him and hug him and say, do you know why I spanked you? And I would, as I shot my teacher. And he would make sure I understood why I got whipped. And that was a thing all up to, I'm not going to tell you what age. But it didn't stop when I was 12. It was all the way up into an unsaid age. And... when that age came, he found very, very creative ways to discipline me that stuck permanently. And I don't think Brother Thompson is in here right now, is he? Okay, good. But at an undisclosed age, I was at youth camp, and I found these little ticket stubs. And they were worth about $1 in the canteen, so I thought, why not sell them and make a profit? And... my parents ran the canteen at the time, and they started noticing two variations in tickets. And they hunted down the person, and they're like, who are you getting this from? Oh, such and such person. And, of course, I wouldn't sell them myself. I had someone else do it. And then they traced it back and found out it was me, and my dad was furious. But instead of sitting me down and having him talk, he's like, you know what, I'm going to get someone from the youth committee. And so he brought me to Brother Bridges, and Brother Bridges said, you know, whatever discipline you choose is fine. This was bad. Don't do it again. And my dad was not satisfied with that. So he went and found Brother Thompson, and he was filled in about the error of my ways. But him and Brother Thompson sat down, and instead of reeling me and reaming me and all that, they decided to sit down with me and tell me why what I did was bad. and give me an education into it. And I will never embezzle again or do anything like that again. But it changed from, okay, you get a spanking because you screwed up, to I'm going to give you more education as to why. I mean, I got punished. Don't get me wrong. I lost all privileges and didn't get to go to anyone's house. But that's one thing that stood out to me, is he would sit me down, make sure I still loved him, and make me give him a hug. But he would tell me what I did was wrong and why what I did was wrong. And I think it made me a better person than I would have turned out to been, or turned out today. And I just want to throw this out there. They also reached out to a lot of you. I know the courts, and there's way too many to number. There's a lot of you that they're like, you know what? If he did something wrong, take care of him. And they stood behind the teachers and stood behind the babysitters. Always. They would never question the authority that I was placed under in front of me. And same with my mom. My mom is not she. My mom is not her. My mom was always mom. He didn't like me calling her she or her. So I just want to thank my parents for the discipline and the beatings and the spankings. And the thank you.
Yes. Let's stand to our feet. Before we go into the end of this service here, I would like if we could just give our three gentlemen there a round of applause. Thank you so much. We've talked about various issues that are great needs in the lives of our children, discipline and a fatherly presence in the home and biblical principles and such. But I guess if you had to ask, what is your child's, really, what is their greatest need? And in order to really understand what our child's greatest need is, we must first understand what are our children's greatest problem. The psalmist wrote these words, "Behold, I was shapen in sin," or "I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." You see, mankind, we have a sin issue. As much as we see these innocent little children here today, as days go into weeks, and weeks into months, and months into years, they're going to develop personalities, they're going to develop character, they're going to develop quirks. The father's going to say, "That's just like your mother," and the mother's going to say, "You're just like your father." But also they're going to develop sin in their life, because that's the way we were created. But as we dedicate these young men to the Lord this morning, we have to teach them, train them, help them grow, and someday they will reach the age where they will understand the difference between right and wrong. And you will bring your child down to an altar and you begin to pray with them. You will watch them as the power of the Lord begins to transform their life. But it starts today with a commitment as a parent. And if it be your intentions to the Zimmermans and to the Buchholzes, if it's your intentions to dedicate your child to the Lord this morning, if you could come to the front as well as your family, come in behind you, family and friends. We have a minister that's going to be, Brother Phil, I believe, is going to be with the Buchholz and then Brother Kraski. Because what we're going to do as a church and as a family, if you would take your child and you would take your child and place them into the arms of the minister that's standing in front of you, and we're going to have Pastor Thomas come, and we're going to pray a prayer of blessing over this child. Brother Thomas,
would you bow your head Heavenly Father, we have come to this place to dedicate these precious children. God, we live in a very, very crazy, upside-down world, and they're going to be facing many, many circumstances that are even unknown to us at this time. Should you tarry, Lord, we pray right now that the power of your Holy Spirit would rest upon these young men, Lord, that the power of your Holy Spirit would touch them in a supernatural way. God, that you'd send your angels to their side, that the power of God would be with them all the days of their life. We thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing in their lives right now before you even do it. In Jesus' precious name, we pray. Amen. You may pass your child back to the parent. We'd like to have all the family members that choose to come up here. If you would just be so kind as to lay your hand on the person in front of you, we're going to ask that the God of creation would touch. It takes more than a parent to raise a child. It takes an entire family of people who love and care. Heavenly Father, we ask God that your Holy Spirit would touch each and every family member as they reach forward to touch the parents, Lord. We're asking God that you'd move in a really great way. Touch the parents of these children, Lord. They're going to need your divine wisdom and understanding, Lord. God, we're just trusting and believing that you're going to be with them, Lord, that they might have wisdom and understanding that they're going to need, and patience, Lord, as they raise these two precious young men. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray right now for mothers and fathers, Lord. We pray for one mind and one accord in the family unit and all the members of the family. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Praise God. We're going to have a receiving line out in the lobby, so I'm going to lead the families out into the lobby, and please take a moment of your time after Pastor Roy comes up and we dismiss that you greet these two families in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Brother Thomas. As the families are being dismissed and setting up for pictures and such out in the vestibule, talked about mankind having a sin problem. It doesn't just happen to our children. They learn it. It's in them. If you're here this morning and you have the same problem, see, we were all born sinners. But there's a process that we go through. And that's, we start with repentance. We ask the Lord to forgive us for our sins. We repent of those sins. And then we go down in His name in baptism. We take on His name, and that baptism washes away those sins that are in our heart and in our life. And then He fills us with the power of the Holy Ghost. His Spirit dwells within us. It's an awesome experience. This morning, if you have not repented of your sins or been baptized or filled with the Holy Ghost, I want to invite you to come down to the altar, to this side right here. And we have men and women that will pray with you. If you're here this morning and you're suffering, struggling from various things in your life, maybe depression, finances, whatever it may be, maybe your family is having issues and problems and struggles, or maybe you and your spouse are having some marriage issues, I want to encourage you to come down together and pray. If you need healing in your body this morning, please come down on this side, and we have ministers that will lay hands on you and begin to pray for you for your healing. So I want to open up this altar at this time for you to come down and spend some time in prayer. God bless you.
You stay the same through the ages.